Howdy.
Howdy.
I'm so happy to be here.
Why are we saying howdy, Alex? Tell them why.
I'm just meant to live here. Like, I...
Don't say that. You're gonna tease me.
I love Texas. I kept telling my students that when I come back, I'm gonna have a country accent and some cowgirl boots. And they were cracking up. Like, they were...
I love that.
They thought it was really funny.
Alexa, play Texas Hold'em by Beyonce. Also, her album dropped today.
She dropped the album the day that I arrived in Texas. Coincidence?
No.
I think not.
She said, welcome to the state of Texas. We're so happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here.
I mean, it's Beyonce's home. Austin is not Beyonce's hometown. Houston is, though.
Correct.
And it's just a short 2 hours away. And you better believe she's going to tour this album all over Texas. This album's for Texas. Absolutely. I'm devastated I missed her Renaissance tour. So yeah. I'm going to have to go to Cowboy
Carter. But how much are those tickets going to be?
So much.
Yeah.
So much. But, you know, I digress. I'm so happy you're here. She's here to visit. She took not one but two flights and had a very short layover.
My eyebrow lady was like, is there a direct flight? And I was like, no. She's like, and how long are you going? And I was like, 2 days. And she was like, okay, have fun.
Wow, you must really love that person, you freak. Yeah, so Alex finished teaching a whole day of school on Thursday and then went home for an hour, had her bags, and then got her ass halfway across the country. And now she's here. And we slept in the same bed last night, and we just started talking, and we were like, oh my God, shut up. We have to save this for the pod. It's so good. So we're ready to go.
I know. I was dying that we, like, didn't use the time to, like, catch up on, like, our private lives, the things that we would not talk about on the pod. Instead, we immediately got into, like, podcast-esque conversation.
It just flows out of us naturally. That's why we do this, because... It's not work. It just flows. It just happens.
I know.
So lots more to come. We're going to do some episodes while we're here. And then we're also going to have some fun. Oh, my press-on fell off. We're going to do some fun other stuff that you guys will see in the coming weeks. So you don't want to miss it. But we literally said, Alex and I said, no, this is a work trip.
It's a work trip.
We're on a work trip, you guys. We got up. And we went to a coffee shop and we worked. And then we went.
We had admin day.
We had an admin day. Worked some more. Like, we're not messing around.
Had to travel across town to get some equipment that we needed. Like,
we have real equipment.
We have things that we're doing.
Our video is going to be out of this world. This is the most high quality video we've ever done. We have not one, but two tripods in here. I told Alex it looks like we are producing a very high budget porno or something, but we're not. It's just a podcast.
Your neighbors that are looking into the window, that's what they think is happening.
Definitely. Just wait till we move it into the bedroom tomorrow. It's really gonna be a
I'm obsessed.
It's really gonna be a situation.
No, but your neighborhood is so cute. The sun came out even though the weather app said it wouldn't.
Yep.
She showed up for us and it's warm. I haven't experienced warm weather in a long time. And
you were getting emotional. You were like, can we please eat outside? I said, yeah.
Like, it could be raining and I might still say, like, can we please eat outside?
It's
because
fine.
At least it's warm.
We can.
Yeah, I love it down here in Austin.
It loves you back.
I don't know if I could live in other parts of Texas, but Austin, I love.
I would never live anywhere else but here.
Yeah.
I simply cannot, shan't, and won't.
Won't.
Can't, shan't, won't. But all right, we have something to talk about today and we're so excited because it is really part of the reason we wanted to start this podcast. We're so passionate about this topic and I would toot my own horn. We are the women for the job. We have been doing this we have been long distance besties for how long? How long ago did we graduate college?
I mean, when we started our friendship, though, like, think about it. Our friendship started with us living together and then, like, living together some more.
Yeah.
And then, like, we graduated and we lived together some more.
Right.
And then we, like, really ripped the Band-Aid off. And I think we had, like, a small little, like, time where, like, I was at my parents', you were at yours.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, we've always, like, since we've been friends, lived together. Mm-hmm. And then we... move to different states that are nowhere near each other or even remotely in the same direction.
I know.
So we really, like, whiplash of like whiplash. Constantly being together to then having to do long distance friendship.
I know. Oh, yeah. You know what I just thought of? Our last night in our fan apartment, and we were all, we just like literally just in Alex's bedroom. The place was completely empty.
Just like a all mattress the furniture, on the floor.
The one thing, we left the mattress and just had one bed, one mattress, and slept there one last
night.
But
it was cute. We like did like a whole date. Like we took each other out on a date. We went out to dinner.
We went to the
common house.
Yes.
Yeah, like so had a fun. Cute little date, and then we came back and celebrated being last night in our cute little home. I loved that apartment.
I love that's such a special place. The fan apartments, like there's just nothing like them.
So good.
Also, they're one third of what I pay now, so I just miss it for many reasons. But like the tall ceilings, the architecture is so fun. Also, I you guys will see in the video, Alex is wearing a shirt. Her eyes are popping in the shirt.
I think it's the gorgeous natural light in
look
here.
Look directly at the camera and give them a
thank
wink.
You.
She looks stunning. Stunning.
Anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So we're going to go through our friendship constitution. You ready, founding sister? Which founding father do you like most identify?
I was literally
which
just
racist
about
asshole
to ask
you identify with the most?
Probably John Hancock, because he signed the biggest, and I could just see myself making it all about me.
I love that.
Do you remember that?
Well, I love that we all know that person's name only because of his signature.
Yeah.
Like, what else did he do? Why was he there? Did he contribute anything important? I have no idea. I just know he had a very large signature.
Alex, if you don't know as a history teacher, God knows I don't
know.
So
you know how people say that, like, men with big trucks like are like overcompensating for something?
We know what it is.
What if
on.
In the 1700s men with big signatures it was like their equivalent of like anytime you saw a man with a really large signature you're like
you have a small penis. Yeah, he wanted to be important. Do you remember that TikTok of the creator who's like he recreates scenes from history?
I'm obsessed with him.
And he does one on John Hancock. Have you seen it?
I think so.
And he's like, be the rest of the founding fathers when John Hancock wrote his name so big on the Constitution.
And they like come up
and
in
he
line.
Goes over and he's like, oh my God, did you see what John did? Like, it's so funny. Yeah, honestly, that's one I remember. Maybe I could be James Madison because JMU, but like I don't. Other than that, I don't really have a reason.
No, we don't need to self-identify
with
them.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like I'd want to be Hamilton.
Oh,
but
that's a good answer.
Like, let's be honest, I'm not that cool. Like,
Arguable. You know the most about all those people, so you should
be
the coolest one of the group. He probably had the most swag of the group. Like, that's what I would gather from that.
Only because he was an immigrant. Like, he had a story.
He was on a journey. Yeah. So, I don't know. I could see myself making it about me and signing it really big. So, maybe I'm John Hancock.
Yeah, I wonder if he put some forethought into that. Like, he went into it knowing, like, I'm going to...
Some founding father forethought? Say that 3 times fast, everybody. Do you think they called themselves founding fathers, or like
probably
like we're only calling them founding fathers because it's been so long?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, when they created the country, they had no idea it was gonna like is this gonna work?
They're not like founding fathers on 3, 1, 2, 3.
That would be cute.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready to go through our top rules? If you think of anything, we can add it. Okay,
perfect. Let's do it.
All right. They're in no particular order, by the way. Like, they're all equally important.
Right, right.
But
we're going to
start with, we feel very passionate about you have to go visit your long distance friend where they live at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you're not just going to spend time with them or see them once a year. But it has to be an intentional trip to the place that they call home.
Yep. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Because there's different types of meeting up as friends outside of college, right?
Yes.
Like, we and me and Alex share a hometown. So if we're both in our hometown, that's great. But it's a little bit more of a coincidence. Like, it's really just if our timing works out, which is obviously a bonus and you can still have quality time. But I do think that this made it into the rule list because there is something about prioritizing, like getting on a plane, getting in the car, and driving and making that effort, concerted effort, once a year. Again, it doesn't have to be every 3 months. Like, we're busy and people have lives and lots going on. But once a year, I go to Connecticut, and once a year, Alex tries to come here to Austin. And I feel like it has made a huge difference. And it just puts the other person in the center of the other person's life that they've built in that new place. Yeah. So I think that's a powerful thing. It's more than just, oh, we happen to both be in the same place, let's hang out. It's just different.
Yeah, and it's even to me like different than like, oh, let's plan a trip where we're still getting like catch up and like go somewhere fun and cool and vacation together. Because like when you go visit somebody's like home, their house, see their like life and what they do, like I got to go to your office today, like it's just a different vibe than like, oh, we just get to see each other, let's go like vacation somewhere, go to a new spot, or like you said, like when we're both back home, let's spend time together. Like, it's just different. And so it's important to prioritize seeing each other's lives like in action and going to visit that part too.
I agree. And ideally, like in a year, we might even do all three of those kinds of things. Yes. Right? Like, most likely we're gonna both see each other in Richmond, but we know, like, I think if we were to prioritize it, our first priority would probably be going to the other person's hometown. And then it's like, if the other two happen, amazing. Those are still really fun. You should totally still take trips and do all the things. But I agree. Like, what you talk about and how your time is spent on vacation, say you're just like on a beach in Mexico for 4 days versus in the other person's hometown for four days. I get such a glimpse into, like in Connecticut, for example, and going up to visit you in July. I got to see, one, your new house, which I hadn't been in before. I got to see all the projects you were working on. Like, I got to see Max. We all got to go to, like, all right.
That okay.
was rule number one.
Number two of the friendship constitution. You must communicate with your long-distance besties on multiple platforms.
This is so important.
It might seem small. It may not seem that important, but it is really important.
You're like, really? Snapchat?
You need Snapchat. Okay, I think you need Snapchat.
To talk about this because
do people not use, like...
No, I think most people delete it. My high school friends and I do. We just have a group chat, and I have it to Snapchat three different groups of people, and that is solely like I only Snapchat those three groups of people, and I need it for that reason. But I think some people delete Snapchat after college.
I almost would argue like Snapchat is like the most important. I don't know, because it's like,
oh my God,
those,
tell me,
it's like those small moments that like are just funny. But like you get little glimpses of somebody's life. They're like, I'm not going to go and like send a picture on a text, or even like, I'm not even going to text this message out. But like when I snap it, it's funny. I don't know.
Snap it in 2 seconds if you're in the middle of something. Like, I can't even count the amount of things.
I love Snapchat.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe my favorite social media.
Yeah. Like Allie, when she gets her last lift, she snaps us right in the middle of getting it. And it's like, lol. And we're like, that's so funny. I love knowing you got a lash lift today. You know,
it's like the little things.
It's a literal snapshot. And I do like that part of Snapchat too. I also think that, okay, I'm trying to think all the modes we use. Obviously we text.
Yeah. Which I think we do that the least maybe.
Honest. That's what I'm saying. Because it's a supplement.
Yeah.
So we do text, but we also do Snapchat. We also Instagram DM and send things through like a group DM and individual DMs to each other.
Yep.
And then we send each other TikToks.
Which is always comedy gold. Like,
yeah. We don't really utilize Facebook, but that's irrelevant. But yeah, that's four things. I mean,
and then like
four...
voice memos, I feel like is a separate form of like communicating.
I know.
That might obviously be like the FaceTime, you need to like FaceTime, you need to call. Like, there's just so many different forms of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think sometimes those small little like daily DMs on Instagram, Snapchats, like it kind of goes back to what you were saying about like shavings pile up.
Make a pile.
Yeah, right. Like, it's like all these little shavings, these little tiny moments that can make a pile of like long distance friendship, like yes. connection, memories. I don't know. Like, even if it's stupid, like, send it.
That's the thing, is I actually feel like that is so underrated, because the things that we used to, like, especially when you live with people in college, I'm going back to that reference all the time, because you're living with them all the time. I would see the Snapchat worthy, uncurated, like, very mundane moments in your life, but actually that gives me a lot of really good information about your life. And so when you just see someone's highlight reel through Instagram, or like, even stories, like, it's curated, the posts are curated. Close friend stories, actually, that's another one.
Oh, that's which a is great really helpful one
too. I really like that's that a one great as well one. I feel like we're all dipping into that more, which is really fun. But shavings make a pile in that, no, I actually think that the most seemingly insignificant things are like taking a snap of yourself on a commute, or like you're on the subway and you send something funny on the subway that you saw, or whatever you're making for dinner. Like, those things are so much more significant than we think. I feel like they're actually the glue that link like the bigger moments together. And then I feel like when all you do all that stuff, I'm not having to, when you come and visit here, catch up on all of like the micro little moments of your routine and day, because I feel really familiar with them, even though I'm not with you doing your routine. So I think that's like, it just helps me stay connected to you guys. And like, it sounds insignificant, but I actually feel like it's,
you're a big voice memoer. Do you want to plug voice memoing?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was its own pillar.
I feel like it kind of, yeah. Oh, like its own.
I wasn't sure. I don't know if it is, but it doesn't matter. If it is, we can lump it into this one.
No, you're right. Like, mini updates. No, you're right. Yeah. We can come back to that if you want.
I feel like it falls into this. Okay. I think it's totally fine.
Number three.
Yeah.
Voice memo mini updates. Go on.
Voice memos are, I am obsessed with them. I feel like we've only had voice memos for like a couple years. But when they released, I was so excited, because it's like leaving someone a voicemail. It takes the scheduling issue out of it, right? Definitely. Because we all have really different jobs, really different schedules. Like, we're friends with nurses and other people who are up all night, and I'm working a totally different schedule. And we just get to be like, hey, I was thinking of you when I did this thing and blah, 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 and hope you're well and yada, yada. And it's like a quick little catch up without having to both be live and available at the exact same time.
Yeah, or like we've all been there where like you're driving and so you call everybody and then nobody answers and then they call you back later and you're like, no, like I'm
not ready to talk. So,
instead, life hack, just send them a voice
memo. Yeah,
and if they respond right away, then you could, that could maybe be your like cue to like just call them, because then you're both available.
Exactly.
But yeah, I definitely have done that a lot, where I'm like, I wanted to talk at a certain time, and now, no offense, I don't want to catch up.
I frankly don't. Don't underestimate the power of a voice memo. As it can be as spontaneous as you want. Like, in my morning walk, I'll just be like thinking about all the things and I'll just spew them off. I'll just rattle off a couple of voice memos.
I want to be better at it. Like,
it's so fun to me, because also I'm such a lazy texter. Texting takes a lot of work and you have to really think about it and sit down and use your thumbs and think about
all the stuff. Do you do voice to text still?
No. I just do voice memos.
Didn't you used to?
Yeah, I probably did. And then that was maybe pre-voice memo era. And then voice memos came and I didn't have to type anything. And also, when you do voice dictation, you still have to go back through and edit and make sure the voice dictation got everything.
So annoying.
And it's 60% of the time it's wrong. So this is like, no, it's just a mini little recording. It also kind of makes me feel like my phone's a walkie-talkie, which I really like. You know, you're like, over and out.
Yes.
Wait till the next one. That's all you get for now.
No, I'm... That's going to be a goal of mine. I love it. Is to try to be better at using them.
Me and my friend Alexa are like, we literally only do voice memos back and forth. And she had like a big update for me in her life. So it was like 4 minutes long. And I just listened to it on my way to the airport. And I was like, this is so enjoyable. I feel like I'm talking to my friend.
Do you know what my one like complaint is though? You know, like if your phone like falls asleep.
Yeah.
It restarts it. Right? Like if I feel like I always have to like touch the screen to keep it awake. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. Like, why doesn't like the fact that a voice memo is playing on my phone mean I'm doing something on it and keep it alive?
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Does that happen to you or is it just me?
I don't know if it happens in that specific scenario to me, but I do remember being annoyed that on certain things it would just go dark even when my phone was in the middle of doing something. There's a setting on your phone that you can change.
To like keep it awake. Basically, it'll longer.
Just like, always be awake. And yeah. You just have to manually like set it to sleep.
I know, I'm worried.
Which
I don't
is kind
do
of
that.
Annoying. I'm sure it'll just die faster, but maybe
okay.
That's why.
I could look into it. But yeah, I do feel like I sometimes get annoyed about that with voice memos.
The new thing you can do is drag your finger over the voice memo and go back to like the place that you were. You yes. used to not be able to do that, and you had to literally start over. Yes. So when you're in deep in like a 5-minute yes. voice memo, that's rough.
Yeah, that's rough.
You don't want to hear the whole thing back. I just need it one time.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I do like receiving voice memos. I just need
They're like a hug, and it's someone's voice. It's so much more personal.
So true.
Than just
Do
getting...
you save them?
No.
I don't either, but I feel like...
You could.
I know, but I feel like I always see people, it says like so-and-so saved, and I'm like, I never do that. Why do other people do that? So I didn't know if I should be doing that.
Maybe our voice memos are just that good.
Okay.
I do not save them because I, don't either. I have storage problems.
Oh my gosh,
I'm like, that's
same.
The last thing I can do. So yeah, I think voice memos for the win. You could be doing your laundry, walking your dog, peeing, I mean, whatever, like taking out your trash. You could be doing anything and you could also be doing a voice memo.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate multitasking
great
thing.
Okay, we moved that to number 3.
Perfect.
Number 4. We recommend that you are, which we can't like force people to be genuine, but we recommend that you are genuinely interested in your friends' lives and should be curious, which mm-hmm. I feel like a little silly saying that because you would just hope that people who are friends with people would do this. But I think unfortunately we aren't always the best, like just as people in the society at this. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's silly. Like it sounds like a given, but I do think, and it's, I don't think it is a malicious thing. Like when I think we all can get very in our own bubbles, especially when we all live in different cities. Maybe we all are in different job industries. Our day-to-day is really different, and we all do a lot of different things, different friend groups. You know, we all go our separate ways, kind of, and they call it, like, the splinter era for a reason, and sometimes it's hard, and we do splinter off, and I feel like the one thing that can keep you close is, like, just prioritizing that other person when you are talking to them, and they're going to give it back to you, right? Like, hopefully, I feel like good friendships feel equally yoked in that way. But even you, like, learn, like, you are so nice and always ask questions about my job when you're like, you're not a designer, you don't have to ask or have to know what I do, mm-hmm. but you ask because you're trying to get to know me better. And then I'm like, oh, I should get you tickets to this thing so you can see this project I'm working on. And you're like, yeah, like there are, I think, more ways than we realize to incorporate other people into our lives and share those parts with them. So I feel like it's just a good thing to, it's just a good reminder and a good, just to be self-aware and be like, hey, am I asking them about their lives and like what's important to them? Because it's cool that we're friends with people who are different than us and have different things going on. And like, if you're, I think you put out the energy you want to receive back, right? So if you do that, you're going to also have your time to be like, hey, I really need your advice on this. Or it's going to be about you eventually. You know what I mean? But it's really nice and puts the attention on someone else for a second. I think that's like a generous thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially in long distance friendships. Okay. We're back, everybody.
Slight intermission.
We said fuck it, gotta go. We had to charge the camera battery. You know, when you're on set, it's complicated, okay? There's a lot of cameras involved. Here, look at your camera, Alex. There, we got 2 cameras. We got a TikTok Alex Earl light. There's a lot going on, and
it's
the
amazing.
Battery dies, and the cameras get tired, and the camera just shut off right in the middle of our effort of talking about point 4. So we're getting back into
cheers!
Point 4. Yay! Cheers! So cute. Alex and I are gonna drink now because it's officially Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can tell by the lighting. Our lighting is a little different, but
yeah,
we're
don't
into
worry
the
about
nighttime.
It. Don't worry about it.
Okay. We were talking about
Point number four,
which is being genuinely interested in your friends' lives. Again, we can't force you to not be a bitch. You just have to be genuinely interested. Like, again, like the irony of telling somebody to be genuine is like so funny to me, but we're going to try to teach you how to be genuine, even if you aren't genuine.
Because here's the thing. I also think it can be accidental. You can be accidentally in a period of like, you're all about you, and it's very easy to just like, be in your own little bubble. So I think it's just a good reminder for everybody. Like, everybody can have moments of not being as self-aware and like we can remind ourselves, like, no, let's be interested in other people and they'll be interested in us. And it's just always a good thing to remind ourselves of. Anyway, so something I wrote down to talk about under this umbrella is that I really do think comparison is the thief of joy in friendship. And especially in your 20s, everybody's like, you could be in so many different places in your life.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
In really any decade, but I feel like 20s and early 30s especially. And so I just kind of wrote, like, jealousy is poison. I've just seen when you start getting jealous or resentful of your friends for maybe things that they have or places that they are in their life that you don't have. Like, I really do think the antidote to that is being genuinely curious and being like, oh my God, that's your journey. Tell me about it, because mine's different right now. And, like, not coming from a place of lack, but coming from a genuine place of interest.
Yeah. I just saw a TikTok the other day where she was talking about, like, when people say that, like, they feel behind in life. Mm-hmm. And, like, her whole point was, like, you are, like, it's your life. You only live one life. So, like, what are you behind in? Like, that only means that you're comparing to somebody else. Like, run if your you own say race. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I think when you free yourself from that of not feeling like, oh, I should be here at this point because I'm this age or because my friends are doing this, like, then, like you said, you're only, like, robbing yourself of, like, the joy and, like, experiences and being present and all those things. So, yeah, I thought, like, I just, like, really liked her, like, take on just, like, what are you behind yourself? Like, what, you're like, what, that doesn't make sense. Like, you're the only one. Like, it's your life. You only have one life. Like, there's nothing to be behind in. Like,
yeah.
We're running one race, right? Like, and it's just like, unless you're comparing yourself to somebody else, that's the only way you could, like, say that you're behind.
Yeah. And I think we all have moments. Like, I'm sure I've absolutely had moments in my 20s, probably in my slightly earlier 20s, because now I'm on the slope to 30. Let's just tell it like it is, which I actually think is exciting.
It is.
That's another podcast. But no, but just that I feel like the unhealthiest version of us can, instead of cheering our friends on, it's coming from a place of insecurity of, oh God, like, I don't have a partner like that, or I'm not there in my relationship status, or I don't have that promotion and my friend's getting her second promotion. Like, that's really tough. And I feel like those are the moments where I think it also just takes time and age a little bit too to pass and have enough years to be a little bit more confident in yourself. And I noticed too, even in my healthiest place, you're happy, you're kind of focusing on your own path and you create a life that you love. But in my unhealthy places, I can find myself looking to the left and the right and having just moments, like, not, I don't think they're whole phases anymore. It's just moments of, like, oh my God, should I be panicked because my life doesn't look the same? And then I have to remind myself, like, no, I worked really hard to build this life that I'm very proud of. And I genuinely love it. Like, I love all my friends' lives, but I wouldn't trade lives with anyone. I really am excited and happy about my life.
And
and so if you're not in that place, what can you do to, it's like, that's take your power back. Use your friends to inspire you. Like, so many of my friends inspire the fuck out of me. I have the coolest friends. Like, you guys all do such different things. You're such amazing women. And I feel like the reframe is to let your friends inspire you and then keep running your own race. Use them as your inspiration. Don't use them as your competition. It's toxic and it's only going to drive you further apart from them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I like that. Like, I think something that can help you be able to do that is, like, like you said, celebrating people's differences and just knowing that things are different and, like, being like, saying that's okay and honoring and celebrating people that are different.
Yeah.
I would love to know what you think our main difference is. What's something that's different about us?
I was literally thinking about this the other day, where I feel like one of the foundations of why our friendship is so fun, aka why this podcast is also so fun, is because some of our lives are similar in that we're the same age. We went through college at the same time. We've lost a parent. Like, we have a lot of things in common that are really grounding. But also, I love, like, how different our jobs are, how different our brains are. Like, I was thinking how I feel like a crazy emotional tornado all the time. And I'm like, Alex, I'm feeling this, or how should I think about this, or I need you to tell me what to think about this, like, I don't know what to do. And you are, like, my buoy, you're my rock.
That's so funny you say that, because when you say, like, when you send me a voice memo of, like, I'm thinking this, tell me am I crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you say it, I'm like, no, I like thought the same, like I would have thought the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we have the first initial thought, like our first thought is the same, but then like from there, like we can balance each other to say like, no, but like, this is why, like, that's a wrong thought, or like why you shouldn't, I don't know, act on this or whatever it is. Like,
I feel like it's like you, like our brains, well, our brains work similarly in some of those ways.
Yeah.
But I love how you spend your day, like you are teaching history. You're partially teaching English right now too, whether you want to be or
it's
not.
Crazy.
And I'm like talking about the color purple and like on a movie set, like, in, you know what I mean? Like, so it's so funny how polar opposite we could be. And like someone could look at us and be like, what would they have to talk about? And I'm like, no, like it's actually, I love how different we are. I learned so much from you. And I've always said you're the yin to my yang. And that's why I think we work so well. It's fun. I mean, we have enough in common too. It's not like we have nothing
obviously
in common.
Obviously.
But we have plenty of similarities. But I think just as many similarities that we have differences.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. What do you think? I was thinking our occupations kind of like.
I went to our like morning, nighttime.
Oh
like,
my god, we just our body clocks.
Like to be roommates for so many years, and not only roommates, but like share a room, and like how do we do that?
I don't know. I probably kept you up a lot. I don't even know.
But I don't remember it like that. I don't know. But yeah, I just, that's where my mind always goes.
My first thought thinking of living together in college, I just remember a lot of, I was like, Alex, can we go to cookout like at midnight? And you're like, and sometimes we would, but sometimes you were like, trust me, just go to bed and your hunger will go away. I was like, is that how it works?
Horrible.
It was more like, no, it wasn't toxic like diet advice. It was like, you said it differently, but I was like, I'm craving it. And you're like, just go to bed, it'll go away. And I was like, I think we have a different relationship with food.
That's for another
episode. That's also another thing. Alex doesn't really have an emotional attachment to food, and I'm like such a foodie, and I like,
you think
it's
an emotional attachment?
Of course. Okay. Me? Emotional? Yes. Me? Dramatic? Theatrical? No.
I'm dramatic too, but kind of in a different way.
In a hilarious way that's uniquely you. Yeah. No. Also,
like,
is our humor the same, or do you feel like they're
different? I think it's similar.
You have to, can you sit a little bit like this just so the camera will, thank you.
Sorry. I'm looking at you.
Just producer things. Look at my
Cut that out.
Look at my eyes.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we ready for number 5?
I feel like we're on the toast where they're like, you ready for the next story? And I'm like, no, I don't want to be done. Yes, I'm ready.
This one might be my favorite one.
Oh my God. Okay. I can't.
Do you want to?
This is an important one.
I don't even remember how we came up with this, but.
Yeah. When?
Or like the origin story of this.
Okay. We're going to talk about safe words and not that kind of safe word. We're talking about a safe word for. We're talking about a. How would you put it?
You're doing great.
I got nothing.
No, we do. We call it our friendship safe word.
Yeah.
Which this was a word that we randomly came up with together.
Yeah.
That when one of us says this word, it means that both people have to immediately become extremely honest. And that's not to say that like we're lying to each other other times, but it just means like, you know, as good friends do, you like sometimes might push aside your like real feelings because you're just trying to be considerate or like want the other person to like have a say, like whatever our like being polite and considerate is, which is a good thing to do in a friendship. But when we say this word, it means like, sorry, you got to stop that. And you like have to be honest.
Yep.
And you like, and it can be down to like the silly. Yeah, exactly. Like silly little things like, what do you want for dinner? And we'll say the word. And it's just like, that just means like you have to say an opinion. Because you know, sometimes you're like, whatever, what do you want? Like, no, it's like, no, you have to say an opinion. Mm-hmm. But other times it can be used in like a more serious, like meaningful way of like, I feel like earlier we had this interaction that like doesn't sit well with me, and so I'm gonna say this word to say like, hey, can we talk about it? Like, I want to be honest about like, how did that make you feel? Like, and like have to apologize or whatever it is, you know.
I
what
thought
I
you're
mean?
Talking about today, and I was like, oh my god, when?
I was using hypothetical.
Yes, yes. I was like, oh my god, tell, you didn't say panda. Our safe word is panda. I'm trying to give an example of like when we've used it,
yeah,
and what was it about. Like, I feel like we use it in the fan, like, once or twice.
Yeah, like, when we lived together, we definitely obviously used it more than we have to use as long-distance friends.
We have
But I have a friend in Connecticut that we have. Ours is corn.
Corn!
Again, I have no idea how we are choosing these words. Yeah, and she gave me like the cutest card. She's really good card giver. Oh, that's and a great it quality. Had a corn on it. It was very cute.
Are you guys, when have you used corn, I guess?
Yeah.
I'm trying to give like a more vulnerable example than just I know. Like, but if we really couldn't decide on where to eat, I'd be like, okay, Panda, I want Chipotle. And you're like, okay. Like,
yeah. And again, I think the scenario that comes to my mind is like times where like we've had like, especially like living together where you just like have a point of conflict or tension and then like late you let it sit for a little bit. And then like later that night yeah. you say like, Panda, like, I was feeling this in that moment and like I apologize if like and then like, we kind of like can like sort yeah. it out. I don't know.
I remember an example. I mean, it's a basic one, but it was in the kitchen and I was not always very quick to do my dishes. I would like let them pile up a little bit and Alex is more like because again, this is just more efficient and correct. Like it's like seriously, I do it now because I learned it from you. But I like would let my little pile like kind of stack up in the kitchen during the day and like get to it or maybe not. I'd get to it in the morning, whatever. And she was really good at like just putting them right in the dishwasher when she was done. And she was like, girl, Panda, I need you to do your dishes.
That's a great example.
And I was like, okay, fair. Like, okay, thank
That's
you.
A great
like,
example.
Because you're probably so good at it and she'd probably been doing my dishes. I don't know why I'm like looking at the camera, not you. I'm
confessional.
Like, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, Love Island confessional. So the truth is, you had probably done my dishes for like 2 days, hadn't said anything, been a gem about it because maybe it was the work week or something. And then you're like, babe, Panda, you gotta do your dishes. Which and I'm like, so true.
That's why that's such a good example because there are some days where like doing somebody's dishes is not a big deal and like you genuinely don't mind.
Yeah.
But then maybe there is a day like you're going to make a meal and like without the open sink, you can't drain the pasta water, totally. Whatever it is. Like, and so you just have to sometimes be like, I'm not trying to like tiptoe, find a way to nicely, politely tell you like, I'm not actually pissed about this, but like, I want to bring it up. So like Panda was used as a word to just be like, cut to the chase, Panda, no hard feelings, but like, can you do the dishes? Yeah. I think that's a perfect example.
I would say that's actually a really good like layer to the safe word is that. I think it also means, to me, it assumes with each other that we always assume the best in each other.
Exactly.
I think that's literally I'm adding a point. Add eight, a rule. Like, 7.5 or 7B. 7B, we're not on
5.
7.
It's okay.
I'm not even drunk yet. 4B would be that.
No, we're on 5.
5B would be that you have to, like, Panda also assumes positive intent, yes. where it's like, I'm not saying this because I'm mad at you. Like, yes. it's literally purely just honesty, and you don't have to fluff and like.
Yes, and I think female friendships do that a lot. Like, we exactly. don't want to hurt each other's feelings, and we are overly considerate yeah. and just care too much. And like,
yeah.
which I like admire and think is a good thing to care and think of others. But there can be a point where it's like, this now is no longer productive, and we're just yeah. like. I'm almost like not going to say something because it's not worth it because I don't want you to be offended. And it's like, no, I'm going to say it because like it's not that big of a deal. And you know that I'm not actually mad at you. And no. so like the word just like it was just efficient. Like it just got you to the place that you needed us
it
to be.
It said so much in one syllable because what you do is you can sit down with your friend, decide what your safe word is and be like, what does that mean to us? And
why
for
did
us,
we pick Panda?
It was so random. I think we literally tried a bunch of different words and we were like,
sorry,
alligator. And we were like, no, that doesn't hit. And then we were like, oh, Panda's cute. And
they
it's just been
so
Panda
cute.
Ever since. They're
it
so
really
cute.
Has.
So I agree. I think it says so much. So when you can decide with your friend what you want your word to be, which is fun because it's a cute
it's
little
so
inside
fun.
Joke. And then you can also be like, what does that mean? Like, what's the umbrella term? Because that way you don't have to rehash it out every single time. That's like the beauty
yeah.
of it. And then, you know, like, I just feel like automatically that gave us more permission to be honest with each other. And it's not about, again, it's not about being mean or malicious. It's actually also, I want you to tell me because I
yes.
don't want you to be frustrated with me and get, resentful and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And also, by the way, this doesn't mean you have to keep talking about it. It was literally
yeah.
10 seconds. Like the dishes thing was like, girl, Panda, I need you to do your dishes. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I've dropped the ball. Like, you're totally right. But the word Panda just makes me think, okay, I take it a little bit more seriously because I'm like, she's taking the time to be vulnerable and honest with me. But it wasn't a fight, and
yeah.
it literally was like over. And I was like, great,
it doesn't
noted.
Have to be this big deal.
No,
and yeah,
it doesn't
like,
always have to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But I do think we skirt around too much sometimes with
Definitely.
Our friends. And it's like, I want you to help me be the best version of me and vice versa. And that's what we've told each other we want out of our friendship. So
yep.
I need you to hold me accountable and care about me enough to make yourself a little bit uncomfortable and be honest. And so this, I feel like, is a really healthy gateway to do that.
So I feel like anytime you have that kind of like voice in your head that's like, I don't know what she's thinking, what she really wants, or like, you just say the word and like, it's just, again, it just like cuts to the chase and like helps you communicate and know like we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to panda right now?
I was just, no, I was going to do a joke and be like, panda, I just love you. But that's not what panda's about. No, because I think it was mainly about living things. Like,
I have one, but I don't feel like I can say it right now.
Oh my God. I know what it is.
You do?
I think so.
Oh my God. Okay.
Wait, oh my God. I don't know.
Let's talk later.
What if they're different? It's awkward.
Okay. No, but like that. Let's talk later.
You can panda it on the pod. It's fine.
No, because I can't.
You can't? Oh my God, is it bad?
No, but it would be like naming people. So oh my God, I just don't want to.
Okay.
But off the pod,
tea.
We're going to panda.
Tea.
Okay. Number six.
Mm-hmm.
Number six. Ooh, I like this one. Like, just like the recommendation for long distance relationships, we recommend for long distance friendships that you kind of have a plan of when you're going to see each other next. Mm-hmm. You don't need to maybe have the exact trip or date scheduled, but I would say like we roughly try like every season, so like 4 times a year. We're big quarter girls. We love a 4-quarter year.
We love a quarter. The first quarter of the year just passed, people. It's Q2.
We're in Q2.
It's FYI. It's Q2.
To me, like quarter one was like winter break, like Christmas, we saw each other.
Exactly. And that's like when we're in that hometown
new
phase.
Year.
Like,
exactly.
We'll see each other.
So we
then.
Know like December, January, we have Richmond time.
Yes.
Springtime
is here.
Yep.
Summertime, you're in Connecticut.
It's beautiful.
And then wintertime, we go back to Richmond, probably.
Yeah, right? Like, yep.
And maybe
it.
In between, we'll go somewhere or something.
Yes.
And again, like, not every friendship you have, right? Like,
absolutely.
Alex is one of my best friends. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to make an effort to see this bitch multiple times a year. You don't have to do that with every single friend. There's tiers of friends, right? So I think you just decide, like, when can I, like, you know,
yeah,
but
depends. There are friend groups, like, friend again groups. A friend group could make a like, hey, we know we're all going to see each other at Thanksgiving, so let's plan a spring trip.
Totally.
Like, as a friend group, because
totally.
Yeah, it's, you can't maybe individually visit everyone like we recommended at the top of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that step is very important.
Yep. Like, my high school friends, at Christmas, two of the girls got engaged. So we got to have like a lot of extra time together, which was so much fun and so special. And it just reminded us like, oh my gosh, we don't get to see each other that often. This is so fun and so special. Like, can we make a plan? And so now it's like, we kind of know, at least generally, some of us live out of the country and work really all over the place. But, and it's hard to coordinate with six sometimes, but for the most part, we're like, okay, perfect. We're going to like do this in spring. We're gonna look at all of our calendars when we're together, like,
yeah.
And it just makes it also easier to part ways when you know when you're gonna see each other next. You're like, okay, well, it's not gonna be that long, and we have this to look forward to, and that's great.
There's nothing better than like having something to look forward to.
That's my thing. I feel
like, just plan the trip.
Yeah, that's why I'm passionate about those kinds of things, making it out of the group chat, because life is not going to get less busy. It is only going to
what
get
do you think
more busy.
The biggest hindrances on getting the trip out of the group chat is like, what prevents that from happening the most? So it's like biggest hurdle.
I think if you don't have a person who's the designated planner, it's really hard.
That sucks that one person is being put on one person.
I know. I feel like in a perfect world, but I feel like usually there is like a planner of the group that is like, I don't want to delegate, I just want to like take care of it.
Are you the planner?
I have been, but I don't think I always am. Like, I'm totally fine to default
to someone.
Yeah,
I feel like that's not my strength.
Oh, I feel like you're a good
really?
Planner. I don't know.
In my marriage, I'm not the planner, so maybe that's, like, what I'm thinking about. But yeah. I don't know, in, like, friend groups. I definitely, like, I'm a decision maker. Like, I like to just
that's
be like, let's
important.
Do it. Let's, like, decide it. But I don't know if I'm, like, good at the logistics of...
Yeah.
Like, I'm going on a trip in, like, a week, and, like, nobody was really being that person,
exactly.
So I just started doing it, but, like, I felt very last minute about it, because, like, I kind of was, I think, I'm used to somebody else already doing it, or, like, I kind of expected, and, like, I was, like, oh, no, somebody needs to do this. So, like, I started making, like, the itinerary, but, like, I don't feel like that's my natural strength.
I think someone at the helm of the ship is key, obviously, you were seeing, like, because otherwise time just gets away from you, and you need someone to steer the ship, so... this wasn't me doing this by any means, but me and two of my, or my other friend Madeline, were going to South America this summer to visit our other friend Juliana, who lives in Uruguay. And so we said, like, I just took the simple initiative step of, hey, I'm gonna schedule a Zoom next week for us to get on and talk about it. When works for you guys?
And that's such an important step.
Yeah. And they gave me dates and I said, great. And then we scheduled it and we've had three meetings since then, and almost our whole entire trip is planned already.
That's, yeah.
So I think, like, having someone at the helm to just make decisions, and then if everybody else is down to, like, put their money where their mouth is, can they actually send a deposit by this time? Like, money's a factor too. Yeah. So
yes.
I think it's just people who, if you're wishy-washy for too long, it's not gonna make it out of the group chat. So you have to decide, like, is this in my budget? Can I go on this trip? Can I pay for my portion of the Airbnb? You know,
yeah,
if not, maybe I can't do it and be upfront and say I can't, or maybe
which
next time,
that I think is key too.
There's nothing wrong
with saying
no,
like,
not at
I
all.
Can't. And even if you don't feel comfortable, like, disclosing, like, why it is, whether that is financial, or, like, I have a friend who, like, just flying is really stressful right now, and so like, there's, like, just saying I can't is okay, but you have to be willing to just, like, say it. It's the, like, maybe, yeah, that sounds great, like, and then, like, nothing happens, like, you're only causing the issue to, like, grow, you know what I mean? And so instead, just be willing, if you know, like, point blank, like, I can't make it, I can't swing it, say it, because then it would save everyone else the trouble, and it would maybe then save the group, like, okay, let's pivot a little bit and, like, find a smaller Airbnb, or, like, find a closer location, because, or whatever it is. So like, you have to be willing to, like, be honest, which is maybe why, again, go back to point number five, have a safe word to say, like, Panda, can people do this? Do people want to do this?
Yeah, be honest. Panda, I don't want to go to that location. I actually want to go
Here. Or, like, Panda, I just can't make it.
Yeah.
I can't swing it right now.
I'm strapped right now. I'll be there next time.
Like, as a good friend, you need to be understanding of that.
Yeah.
And, like,
and it actually serves the group because, right, everything you pay for a trip is going to be divided by the number of people who can go.
Yeah.
And so that actually helps people, like, cool, no worries, we'll do the math this way. And then that helps us make a decision and just, like, make it down the road. But I think availability too, like, the more people, the more schedules that you're wrangling. And sometimes that can just be hard. But I do think it's possible. I think we got to prioritize time together, face to face, at least every so often, every couple months, at least once a year.
Yeah.
With people who mean a lot to you, because you need the FaceTime. There's, like, nothing that replaces.
Absolutely.
FaceTime doesn't replace real FaceTime. You know what I mean?
I need that stitched into a pillow.
Embroider that, baby. On a pillow. Okay, well, are we on point number seven?
Our final point, unless anything comes to mind.
Yeah, unless anything comes to mind.
You want to go over point seven?
Yeah, let's do that first and then I'll get my brain going.
Do you want me to go over point seven?
I do.
Our seventh rule to our friendship constitution is that you need to put equal effort and commitment into your tier one friendships that you put into your romantic relationships.
Yeah. I want you to talk about this because you're married.
A part of that rule implies that you have, like, done the work of knowing who your tier one friendships are and, like, who that is for, because you just can't spread yourself too thin, like, just we can't do that. So like, just doing some reflecting maybe about, like, what are the friendships that really are giving you life, like, right, like, it's a give and receive situation, that it's not just, like, taking all of your energy, but that you also feel like it's filling up your cup as well. But yeah, I feel like all relationships, whether that is a romantic relationship or a friendship, like, takes work. Like, you have to put in commitment and, like, time and energy and care, all those things that we've kind of already gone over. And so I think it's really healthy to prioritize female friendships just as much as we prioritize, like, dating and marriage and, you know, whatever else. So
yeah, because if you think about it, your friends are usually, they can be the ones that are really with you for the long haul.
Yes.
And it's not placing more importance of friends over your relationship. That's also not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, how would you grow any relationship? Apply that to your friendships.
Yeah.
I really think it works a really similar way, and you do kind of have to like pursue the other person. And
yeah,
you said something about marriage, which we'll touch on in another episode of all of Girk's marriage wisdom, but like,
oh my god,
or just like, you know, just her thoughts on things. And
yeah,
but you said, and I think it applies to friendship,
it
like
does.
It's not, it doesn't, it shouldn't be hard, but it is work. And it's like, what's the kind of work you want to do in this life? It's like that, this friendship, that's the kind of work, yeah, I want to, like, that's work I'm happy to be doing.
We were created to put in work, put mm-hmm. in purpose, energy, effort, care.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is all work, but those are all positive things.
I think people get scared
something
though.
Being hard is sounds like
daunting.
Not, and just like not organic, like something hard means you're being pushed up against something, like
right.
blocking you, preventing you, as opposed to work is like, it's still like taking energy, it's still taking thought, it's still taking like mm-hmm. consideration, but like those are all good things that we should do,
right?
Like
our
know.
Chemistry is easy, and that's why I want to put in
yeah.
the work of being friends.
But like we came up with the idea of like, oh, we need a safe word because like that would better our communication, and mm-hmm. only like, but like that's work, like coming up with this idea like is work, but it does
yep.
it's not like, oh, this word now like offends us and like
yeah.
I feel negative or hurt or whatever, like that to me would be hard. Do you
totally.
See like work and hard is different? I don't know, I just
yeah
and that's all relationships again,
yeah,
platonic and friendships or romantic.
It's good to differentiate too, I think, between those things, because I think some people hear the word work and get scared because they're like, my life already demands so much from me,
yeah,
and I'm working full-time, or I have kids, or I have a dog, or I have responsibilities, or I'm traveling. And I think a lot of people want to be a good friend. I think sometimes people get pure friendship, like maybe commitment overwhelm of, oh my god, I'm letting everybody down. And I think that also is why there are tiers. And obviously you're not like, oh, here's your notice, you're a tier 3 friend. Like it's just something, it's just something in your inner psyche that you're like,
yeah,
these people, or this one person, or these 3 people like mean so much to me, they're gonna be getting like most of my
yeah.
efforts from friendship. That's great, that's okay. Like I don't think we yeah I just think sometimes it's a negative connotation, it can scare people away, and I'm like, no, I think most of it should feel really easeful and enjoyable, but like
mm-hmm.
to say that you can maintain friendship with no effort is a lie, and that's just not
yeah.
true, and it's not,
and nothing good comes without like right
work. You get out what you put in.
Yeah,
totally.
A podcast that I have been listening to, it's called like This American Ex-Wife, and it's like all about like divorcees, and they have like people write in, and this one woman wrote in this story about like her husband just like wasn't doing what he needed to do, and she had this friend who like had just had a baby like weeks after giving birth. It was her friend's birthday, who like the husband just wasn't doing anything. And anyway, she tells the story about like her friend who had just given birth, like took the time, got her mom to babysit her newborn for her to go to the store. She homemade a cake, had the friend over, and like put in like ton more effort than the husband did. And just like, I think in so many of our lives, even with people that have like a fulfilling, satisfying romantic relationship, like our friends are there for us in those even like those small little milestones like birthdays, and show up for us in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. so why we would be fools to like put all this energy and effort and therapy and work and communication with our significant other and not do that with like our friendships. Like
yeah,
you just need to do it, but it needs to go both ways, like
yeah.
you know,
they're more synonymous than we think they
yeah.
are. Of course there's differences,
yeah,
like contrary to what you guys might think, Alex and I aren't hooking up, okay? Not tonight, anyways. but it's like, no, that's not a component. But like, there is so much love there. That's
yeah.
the commonality. And I love that story of like, I mean, I hate
it's
that
so
the husband
good.
Wasn't showing up in that way. And that sucks. But I really, and
but I
also
think a lot of people can relate to that. Again,
yeah.
just like, and not that, yeah, just in a lot of ways, like what we can't expect one person in our life to like fill up our cup completely. And so
mm-hmm.
we should put in equal energy and time in
right.
our friendships.
Yeah, I feel I'm gonna botch this saying, but I feel like someone was talking about friendship, like an Oprah level person, like somebody who wrote a book about friendship, and said like friendship is the one thing you like really freely choose with nothing really tangible you're getting in return. Like from your romantic partner, you're gonna get physical touch, love support, maybe a family, maybe kids, yeah, like financial, financial support. Like you really are more partners in tactical areas of your life. But like friendship is like purely a choice. And you are like, the only thing holding your friendship together is the active choice to continue it. And like, what are those things that make it the glue? Yeah. And friends can last our literal entire lives. Like sometimes we have to have a friendship breakup and that is sad. But for the most part, like, you know, hopefully most of our partners are forever and they're amazing. But even seeing like my mom, like lose yeah. her husband at when she was 60 or 59, her friends are everything to her. Like, and they were before. And it's because she didn't lose herself in her marriage. She was also, they were both really committed to their friend groups and being really good friends with people. Yep. And I also want to commend you because I feel like you are a married friend that I have, that our friendship has not changed since you've gotten married. And I think you're one of the few people I can actually say that, that's true of. Happy. And I'm not saying that with malicious intent towards anybody else. Your life changes for sure.
Yeah.
But you've never made me feel like our friendship was less important, secondary, like beneath it. Like you're an amazing wife and it doesn't diminish the fact or your capacity to be an amazing friend also. Like both can exist.
Well, that's really very nice. And I will say, like, I think I can accredit that to my husband, who just also very much values friendship and has incredible friends. And so, like, I think we both equally value that. And so, like, that can maybe help, I don't know, a significant other when, like, you know, your spouse also values that same thing.
And I was going to say, it's also, that sounds like a cool inner working of your relationship, too. Like, I know, I feel like a tenet of their relationship is to help and keep each other accountable for being good friends to other
love
people
that.
And it's like, make it a part of your relationship. That can be in your relationship, is like talking through your friendships and learning how to be supportive and giving your partner the time and space to be a good friend because you want that time or you want to go on a trip or whatever, and their friends are your friends. Like, it just, I think the idea that it has to be binary and separate and those exist in silos is a lie. I think we do way too many things in this life, American culture specifically, way too alone all of the time. And it's like, your friends can also be a great sounding board for your marriage and keep things in confidence and talk through things. And, you know, like they can be interwoven in more ways than we realize. You know, like, I love my friends' husbands and they are my friends too. And that's a beautiful thing. It doesn't need to be separate all the time.
Totally agree.
You know, love.
Those are our 7 rules to live by.
Yeah, long distance especially, and then some I feel like are more on the umbrella of friendship also. It just seems like they all point to like longevity and friendship too. I feel like they're good tenets for
I love that
longevity.
Something else that podcast talks about, and like the context is obviously like has to do with marriage, but I think this applies to friendships too, is they talk about like all relationships end in one of two ways, either breakup or death.
Yeah.
And they were saying like when people break up or get divorced, that it shouldn't be looked at as like a failed marriage. Instead, it was like it just ran its course. Mm-hmm. And like it's not like this test that like you're passing or you're failing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like friendships are the same way. Like if there are friends throughout your life that you are no longer as close with, like I know even I have people that come to my mind who I love and adore and are forever in my tier one friendship group, but I maybe am not doing all of these things all the time to like keep up with their regular lives. That's okay, because when we do see each other and when we do catch up, it's like no time has passed. And there's just something about that like longevity that you're talking about that's just so special that, you know, it's not like we have to like feel bad or guilty if we're not, this isn't like another to-do list of like things I have to do to be a good friend to everybody. Like I know some people that come to my mind of just like, we're always going to be good friends, even if it is a long time, like that I haven't seen them or it's been a long time since I've called them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, don't feel bad about that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's so true. It's not another to-do list. And that's why I don't want people to listen and be like, oh, that's so much pressure. And I have all this work to do if I want great friendships. Like, of course, it takes some of your effort and prioritization. That's like without a doubt. But yeah, it's not a checklist. It's not
this doesn't mean everything failed as a friend.
And it goes back to the chemistry and also believing in the benefit of the doubt in that person. And some of the best friendships that I enjoy the most are like, again, we don't maybe have a super regular communication, but we both have grace for each other and know that we want the best for each other, and we're each other's like biggest fans. And when we pick up after 4 months of no talking, it's like no time has passed. Like, there's also something so beautiful about those relationships too. You're just on the same page.
Yeah.
And you just pick right back up, and it's not like, why haven't you called? Why haven't you done this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you, like, put effort towards the people who reciprocate the effort back to you. And then there's other rhythms for other types of friends. That doesn't mean it's not a good friendship either. Lots of ways to skin that cat, you know?
Yes. I don't want to skin any cat, though.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
From the you south. Are so good at sayings. Like, you... And I, like, my whole joke is that I always, like, butcher a saying. Like, I never... I'm, like, kind of there, mm-hmm. but not really. You are so good at them.
That's so funny. It's a lot of, like, old Bassett, Virginia jokes yeah, my dad grew up saying. So, he always says, like, if there's a lot of something in one room, like... He'd be like, oh my God, like in this room, there's so many cameras. He'd be like, you can't swing a dead cat in here without hitting a camera. And I was like, why do we have to swing anything dead? How do we get here?
I love it.
How did we get here? But yeah, I love you. I'm grateful for our LDF, but I'm glad you're not long distance right now.
I know.
And you're on the couch.
Well, just go ahead and John Hancock that constitution.
Obviously, I'm going to be like, I wrote this mostly. Bigger than all y'all. You, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, yourself on over there, too, and sign it. Mine's just going to be bigger.
Okay.
Everybody hated John Hancock anyway.
I don't know anything about him.
Me neither. But
he's not been a good friend.
He just sounds like he's full of himself. Like, you're right.
Yeah, I respect that.
The big signature is equivalent to driving souping a big up truck. Your truck. We're like, we get it.
There were so many trucks on the highway when we were driving today. Like, they don't exist in Connecticut.
Really?
Not really.
Yeah. No, it's the bigger the better. Like, it's crazy out here.
Hilarious.
Well, right. That's it for this one, guys. Till next time, we love ya. And good luck with those friendships. More where that came from.